Me Beast. I'm sitting here with Aaron and Kenny.
Hello.
What's up?
And yeah, we're three kind of random characters in a box, as it were. And we talk hockey. If there really was any NHL, we'd be reporting a lot on that.
This is the lockout edition.
Yeah, the special lockout edition, which obviously means we should address that right off the gate.
It's the
and the three of you guys, you pull one thing, you're out of this game.
Elephant in the room, thank you.
Yeah.
the elephant in the room. That's one way to put it. I'd say it's about eight big balls of bitch on a bitch boat, but
yeah, sure.
Yeah. So yeah, Bettman and Fair Brothers and Daly are still just talking.
talking a lot the past few days.
Yeah.
This is day four of yet another session. You'd think they'd be talking a little bit more than they have been.
They're definitely not tipping their hands at all at this point. They're, you know, just saying, hey, we're talking.
Well, I think they realized when they both aired the proposals that they had thrown out to each other that maybe if one of them flinched, the other one, of course, decided that, oh, no, we'll show you what we decided to propose as well, and now they don't want us to know anything.
Because they know that just pisses off the fans, because all the fans see are reasonable offers, and they see people disagreeing to rather reasonable offers.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can only have these leaks to the public so often before
you're
fans
just losing fan base at that point. Yeah,
I mean, the fans were pretty solidly in the players' corner, but at this point, I think it's pretty split. Actually, a lot of people don't really care for either one; they just want fucking hockey back.
Yeah,
let's
I just want to see some more ice time.
It would be great to see more ice time. I think. Personally, I think the owners right now, let's see, we're canceled through November 30th insofar as NHL, and then also the Winter Classic has been canceled. So that puts us 2 months back, pretty much, just shy of 2 months back.
I think if they start up December 1st, it's going to be a 62-game season, is what they're talking about. So you're losing about
loss.
About a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's still going to be a hard push to try and make that happen. We're already into November. How far do you really think they're going to let it go? Are we? I've kind of looked at it as we're not going to have a season.
That's a tough call.
Every time I've been given hope, I've been crushed.
Yeah.
So at this point, I've got really no hope. You got to figure there's enough money out there that these two are going to come to their senses and actually make something happen. But nothing's happened so far that's told us elsewise, you know?
Go ahead, Gabby.
Well, with all these players going over to Europe and the KHL right now as well.
And some of them talking about not coming back.
There is a big potential of that happening.
Now, for me, on my side of it, I think the owners are starting to realize they are kind of shooting themselves in the foot at this point because of the amount of revenue they've already lost.
Yeah, they have. I mean, the concessions they're asking for really are going to end up being less than the games they've lost. So.
Yeah, ultimately. And, I mean, sure, in a handful of the markets, it could possibly save them some money. But the heavy markets, like, say, the Rangers, Boston, Montreal,
Toronto.
Even though Toronto still lost, did you want to mention that one?
Aaron originally posted that. I'll
even with the locked out season, the Leafs still managed to lose a game.
Yeah,
and
Toronto.
There's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
Toronto still managed to lose a game, even with no season. But that being the Winter Classic, obviously.
But that actually brings up a good point, though.
They still have a great market, even though there's a running joke about them being a losing team.
Their fans are loyal.
Their fans are very loyal, and they're a very storied in history team, so it's okay. They still have the markets, though, like Phoenix. The Devils were struggling last year at the beginning of the season insofar as revenue, but they brought it back around.
I still don't think they made enough. I think they still ended up losing money over the course of the season.
The Predators, who also started off doing poorly and then coming back, St. Louis as well, insofar as finances, those markets, some of those actually would have been doing great at the beginning of the season with the playoff runs they made.
Right, right.
All progress on that is lost.
But it makes you wonder, you know, some of these markets, the New York market is actually pretty saturated, so you really can't, you're not going to get any more teams in there.
Well, that's the problem with the Devils.
Right.
That's why
or the Islanders.
Yeah. Or the Islanders, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But if you look at Toronto, they got one team. They could probably support three teams, honestly.
Yeah. Realistically.
That whole market.
Well, and that's why the talks of moving Phoenix to the suburb of Toronto.
To Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton. Thank you. That's why that was being looked at, is they right. have more than enough fan base. And yeah, the other option was looking at, I want to say, was it Harrison in Quebec that was also being looked at as an option?
Quebec City.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, why not, if you have teams that are struggling to make payroll, why not move teams to areas that can generate income?
As opposed to needing to fight like they are right now. My main point was in the strong markets that were actually showing a lot of growth, and then the markets that were borderline last year that then ended up coming up and showing a lot of growth, all that revenue is entirely lost right now, and all that momentum is lost
right.
that they had built up.
Yeah.
And they had just recovered well enough from the previous lockout.
Yeah, they were just coming back and actually starting to get strong again.
Well, they were half again on revenue. The lockout in 2005, the previous season, they had done $2.2 billion overall for NHL revenues. And the last season, it was $3.3 billion. So they were half again. And that is a lot of money to talk about. With the struggling markets from expanding into the South and not having the fan base there.
Well, the thing is, if the NHL wants teams in the South, they need to figure out revenue sharing. They really do.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's going to be down years when that team's not winning.
And to a certain extent, they do have revenue sharing.
But it's not enough,
but
obviously.
It's not enough, obviously. And that's part of the owner's argument.
Right.
But right now, they're ruining all the progress they had made.
Yeah, well, yeah.
On creating new fans and getting more people interested in hockey.
They're crapping it away.
Not to mention the deal with NBC. What's going on with that?
You got to figure they're really ticking off all their advertisers, their
all the advertisers, all the beer sponsors, the
broadcasting partners.
Exactly.
I mean,
and having signed that deal with NBC, one of the major networks, how is this going to help at all?
It's not. It's, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot just like they did with ESPN.
Yeah,
because now they're poisoning the well. Who are they? Once this contract comes back up again, who the heck's going to want that?
Yeah,
really.
And
well, didn't they? I thought they just signed like a 10-year deal with NBC. NBC Sports.
Now it's going to be 9 years.
Well, I don't know if it was exactly 10, but it was either double digits or close to double digits. Major contract, you know, for all the NBC Sports games, the Winter Classic,
right?
Playoff games, what have you. And yeah, now, you know.
Well, and there's another thing. All the growth that's come from the outdoor games like the Winter Classic and the Heritage Classic that has helped draw all this attention, it's still just shooting in the foot, like I said, constantly. And it's Bettman and the Fair Brothers and Daly, and they're stalling out.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I think the ownership side is actually losing more by having this lockout than they.
Well, yeah, because the players are just going and playing elsewhere. They might not be having their contracts might not be as big as what they're currently making, but they're making revenue. The owners,
yeah.
However, are not.
They're not making anything.
No, unless they own the stadium that they play in, which there are a few, but even then, you're still losing 41 games a year plus preseason and potentially playoff season that you're not getting revenue.
You're still missing out on attendance, you know?
Absolutely.
And then they're also going to end up losing their staffing and having to train new staffing if they keep this up for an extended period of time. All the people that work those venues need to find a way to eat.
And
you know?
You could even actually, I mean, you could extend it beyond that even. You know, you're losing in the smaller cities that have stadiums, you're losing tax roll.
Oh, entirely, yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of these teams, when it comes time for them to get a new stadium, who do they go to? They go to the local government.
Yep.
What local government is going to want to sign up and build a stadium for a league that isn't committed to playing?
Especially if they're a small market.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are they going to build a stadium?
Especially a small market. Yeah. And on the tax revenue side and also on the local business side, working service industry. Like right after the show, I'm going to go bartend. Talking to other bartenders that work around the X, they're dying. Like it's killing them that they don't have the revenue, that they don't have the tip money that they normally would that gets them through the year.
Oh, yeah.
Off of just the hockey games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the businesses in downtown St. Paul, where the XL Energy Center is, they're hurting. And
it's a huge impact on that entire city's economy, and that's in a strong hockey market. I can only imagine what it's like in a weak hockey market.
Right.
What was the video that we saw a few weeks ago where they actually had the NHL 13 game on? Was that in St. Louis?
It was in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus. At a hockey bar in Columbus.
Oh, yeah. They've been running the whole season.
And the announcers
are there commentating on an autoplay of a video game.
Was it autoplay or did they actually?
Yeah, it was autoplay.
Oh, okay.
It was autoplay, yeah.
There were some places in Quebec that have been doing that as well. And just as like goofball thing, not necessarily the whole series and not necessarily the broadcasters, but having, we were supposed to be playing these guys tonight. Let's just set it up on autoplay on the screens.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if I'd say wonderful.
It's something. I mean, it's more than what we're getting from the NHL right now. I mean, shit.
You know. No, out of the NHL, yeah. But we also have... See, this is another reason why I'm a little upset about our minor league affiliates. We did pick up a second one, but it's also a Southern Market team.
Oh, yeah.
You guys already have tickets to the game to go see the Arrows play.
Two games, actually.
Well,
one
at
here.
The X, I mean.
Yes.
Seeing the Arrows play at the X and being able to see our minor league team in our major league venue.
Right.
We can't really go and see them easily.
Right.
You look at, because you got a team in Florida and a team in Houston. That's all the way across the damn country.
And okay, I'm going to wave my nerd flag here. So I was looking at this. I did this probably a couple weeks ago.
All right.
Those that you don't know, I do some GIS work, which is geographical information system. So I look at maps and do mapping stuff. So I was curious how bad the Wild are compared to other teams as far as their minor league, their AHL affiliate, how far they are.
Yeah.
And we are pretty bad. We've got one of the farthest distances between us and our AHL affiliate.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of that has to do, because I tried running different simulations as far as whether or not if we had, say, the Rockford Ice Hogs. Which
that's the Blackhawks minor league affiliate.
Right. If that would be a better situation. But the problem is that I think there's three different teams in Texas alone. You know, someone's got to have those teams.
Minor league?
In AHL.
Well, okay.
Houston, San Antonio, and
Dallas.
Dallas. Has, oh, yeah, that's right. They do have actually a...
The Dallas Texans or something like that.
Yeah. So Dallas not only has our old team, but they have a minor league team as well.
It's the Texas Stars, I think is what it is.
Yeah, it's their minor league affiliate, though.
Yeah.
Well, okay. In theory, now I've always been a proponent when they build the Wilf Stadium and all that to not have it in Minneapolis or St. Paul proper, have it in one of the suburbs. Let the suburbs pay the tax revenue bump on that instead of downtown. Also, you can have better parking, blah, blah, blah. And you'll get a new light rail line. That was when we were talking about a football arena. Now thinking of it this way, if we had Duluth have the Arrows, big enough city that they can support it, or St. Cloud, possibly.
Hell, even Wisconsin.
Yeah, Madison.
Yeah.
Madison.
But we'd get a light rail line that would go there. They're already planning a light rail line to Duluth, which is one of the reasons why I brought that up.
There's already a line that goes through Madison that they're talking about, the super line or whatever that's supposed to be going from...
To Chicago.
From
we don't even have to necessarily go as far as Madison. Why can't I think of the name of the city right on the border on 94?
Hudson,
thank you. If it was in Hudson even, that's still close enough to the metro, but far enough out with enough people to support it.
Well, I think the big problem with Minnesota is that we've got really strong college hockey and even high school hockey.
No, very much.
And
so.
Makes I think a lot of teams and you know minor league teams a little more wary of moving in this area.
You know, Madison has a pretty solid hockey program.
Right, but they don't have a pro team.
They don't have a pro team, and I don't think high school hockey is as prominent in Wisconsin as it is.
Not as much, but...
I know not as much as Minnesota, but in general.
Another good argument for having it be in Hudson or maybe even as far as Eau Claire and having the minor league affiliate at least that close where you could take a trip to go check out the minor league affiliate.
Yeah, even just a weekend trip or
a day trip
or even, you know, one night in a hotel.
You still need an arena though to play in, and you know, if you look at say Madison, we'll just throw Madison out there. They'd probably have to end up sharing space with like the Badgers.
And
that is a great arena though.
I'm actually pulling this up right now.
But you're possibly losing a lot of Friday and Saturday.
Aren't the Badgers playing in the convention center in Madison?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I just worked that arena for a catering.
They can do like 15,000-16,000 people because it is a convention center, correct?
I want to say for hockey seating, it's right around 15,000. Yeah,
because I know it's one of the bigger ones, but it's because it's a multi-use venue.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not like Mariucci that's set up.
Yeah, I was there on tour with Elton John. So the other venue that we did was the Fighting Sioux Arena, Ralph Engelstad.
Yeah, well,
that's a beautiful stadium.
That stadium is gorgeous. Oh God, I understand why the Sioux fans are so passionate. Yeah, I love Mariucci, don't get me wrong, but holy Hannah.
If you ever are up that way, you have to see it. But
then again, that's also kind of being, you know, primarily hockey, but it is also the main multi-use venue in North Dakota.
Well, there's also, it is North Dakota.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, North Dakota, just... You have a very small population.
Well, at least their priorities are straight with hockey.
There is that. Let's see. What else do we got?
Well, I like Kenny's little... as we were talking about the Ice Hogs.
The Rockford Ice Hogs.
Yes, they just recently announced that they're going to be...
Mexican fiesta. Los Ice Hogs.
And they've got special Fiesta jerseys.
You've got to be kidding.
Sponsored by Corona.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is... Wait, Corona is sponsoring... Well, as we've talked, Mexico has had outdoor games, and they do have their own elite league for hockey. And so, yeah, I can see Corona trying to help wheeze into the market.
I really like the backs of the jerseys, though. The numbers have sombreros on them.
Oh, sweet nectar. That is great. I got to get a hold of some of my friends from Rockford and just kind of, if you can get me one of those, please just let me know how much money.
Yeah, that's probably the most garish jersey one of those. I mean, I would
wear that every Cinco de Mayo. Every Cinco de Mayo, I'd wear that while working. It would just, it'd be great. It is fairly ugly, though, people. I won't lie.
It's definitely, you walk into like a Chi-Chi's or a Chili's, and that's...
Does Chi-Chi's still exists?
I have no idea.
It's interesting, to say the least. It's every garish aspect of what people up north think Mexico looks like.
Pretty much.
It's, yeah.
Even the ice hog is red like a tamale.
I think that's normal, though.
Actually,
is it?
Yeah, I think so.
The bulldog is normally red, and... But yeah, it looks a little more like it should be on a box of hot tamales.
He's got a Mexican mustache going on too. Did he always have that?
I don't think he's always had that.
Is it like a Salvador Dali or
yes,
what?
Yes, full on.
See, that's more Spanish than Mexican. I mean, come on.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
It's still ugly regardless.
It's still brilliant though. It's so amazingly silly and wonderful. Oh, I needed some laughter after trying to argue. Well, not argue.
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. We finally managed to segue into something good. Sweet. Getting back to the Arrows, though, they've played 10 games so far this season. Won 5, lost 3, overtime loss on 1, and a shootout loss on 1. But, so they're sitting at 12 points in 6th place overall in the West. for the AHL.
But I think the bigger story is the injuries that they've suffered.
Hit us with them.
Jonas Brodin with a broken clavicle.
He's out 8 weeks, I believe.
Something like that. Yeah. Successful surgery from what I thought I last read. And
Mikhail Granlund, he's out for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that one hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially if...
But it's only a couple of weeks. Hopefully, hopefully they let him go for 3 or 4 so that he can heal properly.
Yeah, they said it's just a standard ankle sprain, not a high ankle sprain. So they don't think it'll be too bad. Just a matter of healing, you know. So,
yay!
So going back to our good friends, the Rockford Ice Hogs.
Wow. We are talking a lot about the Ice Hogs.
Yeah. We are the source of Ice Hogs information.
I'm just about to pull this video up. I have not seen it yet. I've heard pretty brutal things, though, with Aaron Shaw taking a nasty open ice hit and getting a 6-game suspension.
Really?
Yeah. Let's see.
And we'll pause while Kenny watches this. And we'll say, yes, Rockford, Illinois, a great, great city. Plenty of fine places. Go check out the Kryptonite if you're looking for a live music venue with a good demeanor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this might have been the video you were watching, Josh, with the 5-on-5.
Oh, that's the ECW-type fighting that they got going on.
Yeah.
It's just a huge scrum. I'm going to bring up a topic that I don't believe we've discussed is... KHL's going on right now, obviously.
Yes, yes, and they've got a lot of our players.
Yes, and some of them have chosen to wear number 99.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Oh, wow, yeah, dude just kind of got smoked. Sorry, still watching that video.
Quit watching gay porn. Oh, that's not what you meant. Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, so who, what?
Yeah, some who people has, chose to...
What? Who was it? Nicholas Backstrom.
What?
The skater, not the goalie.
What?
Yes, number 99.
Are they doing this as homage or as insult?
That's, I don't know.
Or are they just saying, okay, this is not retired in this league. I'm going to, yeah, I'd like to take it. And, boy.
Which,
what?
who else is rocking 99?
Let's see here. The only one I really remember off the top of my head is Backstrom, because he's playing for the Dynamo Moscow.
I did see. Is that who our buddy Alex the Great is playing with as well?
Yes, that
and
is correct.
He's
really
no longer,
Alex the Great?
Well, you know, Alex the Great, as he likes to be called, who's wearing now number 32.
Yes, that is correct.
What? Okay. He did break some glass with his head, though.
He did.
That was actually pretty awesome.
I didn't get to witness it, but and actually, I got to give Kenny all props on this for letting me find out about this. You want to start with the story on that one?
Well, you know, it was him finishing off his check like he normally does. He tends to like to not pussyfoot around hitting somebody. And he went back to roll off into the glass, and the back of his head shattered an entire pane.
Now, if you remember correctly, while we were standing outside of a preferred watering hole and imbibing some beverages, smoking a cigarette, I brought up the fact that maybe it was the glass from one of the locomotive planes.
Oh.
Not proper reinforced.
Yeah, maybe.
Too soon?
You know... It's got to be coming
wow,
up.
Wow, I can't believe I shut both you guys up and had
it's
that.
It's
got to
be coming up on a year
Mobia.
Anniversary if it just
we're,
hasn't
we're
passed.
Past, we're past
we're
that.
We're past, yeah.
Because it was right before the start of the season.
Oh,
and just as a breaking news, but not. But
I'm bummed.
Well, wrong.
Do you believe me?
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
That is actually a good segue there, is Backstrom actually changes number to 69. He states that he really didn't want the number 99 and that the Dynamo somehow gave it to him and that he really wanted 69, which is a good
Goon.
Homage
nice.
To Doug Glass.
Yes.
Nice.
I like corn dogs.
Hockey has its own science and strategy.
If you haven't seen Goon, check it out.
You know, because, like, they're in the bun already. And
brilliant. Oh, God. We watched that way too much.
And sweaters, jerseys. Brizgalov had nice things to say to the reporters trying to give him an interview after a win the other night. The last quote was the question, at least share your impressions about the game. Brizgalov, what impressions are you talking about? I don't have to work hard. Even my uniform is dry. You can touch it yourself if you want to just to make sure.
Oh, wow. So wait.
Prior to that, though, he said he was not allowed to talk to the press because his parents and his wife said they don't want him to and that they have to call them to get permission before he'll talk to them.
Okay, so basically, he's gonna be a little bit of a caustic one to interview to begin with. And
well,
it sounds like he's at least giving an homage to the NHL, going, yeah, it's a little tougher over there.
Well, I think also it actually pays respect to his appearance on the 24/7 videos from last year.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh,
when he's talking about space being humongous big and how everyone is basically just, you know, rocked on him for that, you know, the talking about space blowing his mind.
Yeah. What drugs aren't they testing for in NHL? Do they not give spinal taps or LSD?
Whatever they're not testing for, I'm pretty sure Brizgalov is
something under the tells
influence.
Me LSD would not count as performance enhancing.
I could
be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that is not a performance enhancing.
Well,
drug.
You know, I don't know. I mean, in baseball, Doc Ellis pitched a no-hitter on LSD.
He did.
Yeah, and if you ever get to listen to the audio of him talking about his no-hitter on LSD, it is fantastic.
I'll have to look that up. That's I still don't really see. I think the only thing there is that you'd be so amazingly unpredictable.
Yeah, I think he said that he was throwing like 60-mile-an-hour pitches. I mean, just all over the place.
No rhyme or reason. Yeah. Oh, God.
Maybe it's Brizgalov's Russian tea with some magic mushrooms. Who knows?
So going back to the lockout a little bit, did you guys hear about Jaromir Jagr siding with the owners?
Really?
No.
Because he's also an owner in the Czech League. So he sees it from both angles.
Yeah.
Which is kind of curious that he would even announce that, you know, because the league and the players have been so much, we have to be in lockstep with each other. We need to all be going on the same path.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We all need to agree on everything. So, you know, I don't know how I feel about, you know, it's kind of weird because I know when Lemieux had ownership stake in the team.
Doesn't he still?
Yes, he does. Yeah. But when he was a player.
He had part owner and player. Yeah.
So
it's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, no, it's.
But
it's curious.
He'd probably have to. Yeah. Odd.
Yeah.
Good topic to think about. One I can't really come up with a proper opinion on because it would give me an aneurysm to try and wrap my head around every aspect.
You know, Miko's an owner, partial owner in the Finnish league that he's now playing for.
No, that's a good point.
I think he also has the wherewithal, though. Oh, go ahead. Actually, I'll let you.
He's got class.
He does, and he's also got that stoic Finnish thing about him that I don't think he would say too much.
No, this is true.
He's more PC, I believe, than most of the other players that are out there.
And I don't believe he's ever had a mullet, so that's...
You know. Ooh, sick burn.
Well, at least none that have been publicized a lot.
Fair enough. I was actually going to argue that I think right now his bread and butter isn't the team he owns as much as his playing. And he'd rather not worry about it, especially since it's a totally different league.
Which I'm kind of curious
about. On a guess. That's throwing it out there as nothing. Real quick, I'll give an update here on where the Gophers are at overall. They're sitting in second place. Let's see. The total count, 1, 2, 3, 4, was at 6 wins, 2 losses, and 1 tie for their entire schedule, putting them 5-2 overall, 2-2 in conference, 4-0 at home, 1-2 away. So, yay, go Gophers.
Yeah, I think they're sitting 2 in the nation right now, according to most polls.
Yeah, I think.
Looking like it.
Yeah.
And their next game is Alaska Anchorage up in Alaska.
And their last game, well, that was last game with the Minnesota State. So.
Yeah, yep. Mankato. They split that, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep, one home, one away on that series as well. So
I think the only reason they didn't drop is because most of the teams in the top 10, aside from BC, who's number one, you know, they split their games too. So the Gophers got a little lucky there that someone below them didn't take advantage of their misfortune.
As much as I've tried to catch it, like I said, since I mentioned I work in a bar, I don't really get a chance to watch the games on Friday and Saturday. I have made a point of trying to make sure I take my lunch during the third period of the Gophers game so I could sit and watch it and just like, all right.
Yeah, but the way they're playing, most of the action is done by end of the first.
But Rao's still looking great.
Yeah.
He's still skating great and pulling off some brilliant moves, even on games that have stayed really, really tight.
Who's in that firm? Wilcox?
Wilcox is the one who's been winning.
I think he's pretty much got the main gig.
I think he does now. I don't think he did because I don't think he was starting the season, but I think he's...
Well, originally they were planning on splitting goalies, splitting duties, and he started coming out ahead.
He definitely was.
From October 22nd, story about Koivu. Sounds like his contract with TPS goes till the end of November with an option to extend his contract depending on what happens with the lockout.
Wait, with which?
With the Turco TPS.
Okay. Interesting.
TPS Turco, the team that he partially is ownership of.
Nice. Well,
playing with Miko Kiprasov. Mika Kiprasov, sorry.
Very nice.
He's net mining for him.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Included in the ownership group is
Kiprasov. Yeah, that makes more sense. I was a little confused for a second, But good. Obviously, strong league, the Finnish Elite League. Definitely more of a goaltending farm.
Right. And Turku is Mika's hometown, so that's...
Yeah.
All the better for him. Man, hopefully he can just relax, have a couple of beers, and watch the game since he's not playing right now. Get some decent practice in with his team.
Yeah.
apparently his brother Saku also owns part of...
Not terribly surprising.
Not at all.
Geez, so shocked.
Dad was a longtime coach in the organization. Has been. Yeah. Finnish Elite League history.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
I bet it is. All right. Let's see. Did we have anything else we wanted to suck on the Rockford Ice Dogs tit for? I just brought that up because we were talking about them so much earlier.
Well, I'll bring up the Arrows again.
Okay, yes, nice.
Recently, they just announced that they are going to be cutting off beer sales at the end of the third period.
Nice. Wait, at the end of the third?
Yeah, prior they were going to be ending it before the fourth period.
Okay. Very nice.
Yeah, I think that's...
So basically, they were treating it like club level at the X, where as long as the puck's on the ice, you can still drink.
Can you still do that at club level? I thought it was just for the suites.
Club level, unless something changed in the last season, you could always drink. As long as they were playing, you could still get a beer.
Huh.
They'd be trimming down the bartenders. You'd only have like one bartender at that giant, like four-section-long bar. On either side, but yes.
I guess I would never realize that. I always kind of went off of the...
Order a beer during the shootout, basically, is what it came down to.
Because, I mean, I pretty much, you know, beer or two at the beginning of each period would last me for the period, and then, or, you know, at the beginning of the first, or before the first starts, and then the first intermission, and then the second intermission, I'm usually set to the end of the game, into...
I'm real solid with the...
OT.
Get two Guinness at the Iron Range Grill after a cigarette. Sit down, watch a period. Then as soon as the period's over, wind sprint. Both those Guinness are gone. I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm grabbing two more and getting right back to my seat.
So obviously you all know
I do
our
about
priorities
two Guinness
are
per period.
Our second priorities.
Yeah, and but I always have my GPP? Ass in the seat on time. GPP? Yes. Exactly.
Cool. Two Guinness per period.
I'm a 2 GPP average, and yeah. And I managed to get away for a cancer stick between periods as well.
The except shot, for the save. We can breathe again. That's hockey. That's our game.
The overtime 5-minute period, I obviously don't go through 2 Guinness. But
which this makes me wonder. I would have to presume that for the Houston game up here in Minnesota that they're going to have alcohol sale.
I would think so. I mean, that'd be kind of weird not to.
How could they not?
Yeah.
I mean, does AHL have rules? No, they can't.
If
Corona's sponsoring.
Yeah,
so that's a given.
I just for the college games at the X, they do not serve alcohol.
Or the high school games.
Right.
So
even if you're club level, which I found out the hard way.
Yeah. Which I was not exactly overjoyed with, but was okay with. They got some decent coffee stands in there.
Yeah, and then you're just all wired up.
Yeah, I was also getting up early for the first session for the high school tournament.
Fair enough.
I didn't mind the fact that I was slugging down coffee like mad.
So did you guys hear about Wayne Simmons? He's playing in the Czech League right now.
All right.
And he was verbally assaulted while playing. He being one of the few black players in the league going overseas and playing. I think he played with Philadelphia last year.
Yeah.
I think he spent some time with the Kings, if I remember correctly.
The story is sounding familiar. Does this involve a fan?
Yes, yes, it does. The fans began chanting O-Pice, or O-Pice, O-P-I-C-E, which in Czech means monkey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good to see Alabama's alive and well in the Czech Republic.
Right.
Oh, sorry, Alabama.
Not cool.
Sorry, Czech Republic, but come on. People.
I mean, what is
get over it.
Yeah, last season I believe someone threw a banana at him when he was playing.
Yep.
I mean,
that was at the beginning of the year. That was during one of the preseason games.
Yeah. I mean, it's like
during the shootout at that.
He's not a small guy either, is he?
Well, yeah, but he's not going to take on, you know, 1,000 people. He's not stupid. I mean, but seriously, I mean, what the hell is wrong with people?
You know, they never did that shit to La Rock.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
That's
actually a very
damn good point.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know, and he hasn't been the only black player to play. I mean,
no,
there's been.
Aginla doesn't get that sort of treatment.
Aginla doesn't. There's been a few that have come up through the Wild. Or at least one that I can think of. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Charlie. Wasn't it Charlie or something? Oh, God. What the fuck was his name?
But.
Let's see.
I mean, you are definitely. You're starting to see it more. And it's just sad that people aren't adapting.
You saw it more in the past, and then it went away. And now it's back with a vengeance for some reason. And not necessarily a vengeance, but we're also paying more attention to the European leagues. Where we'll notice it right away and go, oh, really? Because of a couple of incidences within the last couple of years.
Joel Ward?
That could be.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I know there's another one.
There's another one, but I do remember him coming up. But yeah. There is another guy that I think he may be in Houston right now.
I think he was bouncing between the Wild and Houston a few years back.
Bell.
Yes.
I can't remember his first name.
But Bell, you're
I'm
right.
Horribly, horribly lazy about first names until I see you play 5 games.
It's on the back of your jersey. That's good enough for me.
Yes, your last name I will remember. And then as I'm reading the program, I will check out the first names and go, oh, where are you from? Sweet.
I guess what I think is really amazing is that you'd expect something like that out of the South. You know.
Hence my joke about Alabama being alive and well in the Czech Republic.
I mean, obviously, Europe has its own history with racism.
As well, yeah.
You know, but, you know, the general consensus is that they're somehow, you know, past that, when I think it's pretty apparent they're really not.
Yeah, it's not always the case, unfortunately.
Was he playing in the KHL or was he playing in...
Simmons?
Yeah.
Czech League.
Czech League.
Yeah.
God, all the European leagues have got to just be doing much better than normal right now. Both financially and insofar as
gameplay. Are you kidding me? The KHL right now has to be grinning from ear to ear.
Oh, yeah.
Well, even the ECHL is doing better because they got a whole bunch of, you know, Anchorage has a team in the ECHL.
Right.
They got a bunch of, they got Scott Gomez.
Yeah, he just signed with them.
Even though Scott Gomez gets, you know, really taken a task for not scoring at all as a Canadian. But, you know, he's a Alaska kid, you know, so.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And I would have to assume that the AHL numbers have to be up right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I haven't done a comparative on it. To be fair, I just did not do my homework for this show. I'm sorry.
Well,
I suck as a human being, and I fail at life.
Their ticket prices are a lot cheaper than the NHL, but if you want to stream any of their games, it's just as expensive, if not as more expensive than the NHL network.
Really?
It's ridiculous.
Just go back to our topic of black players. Robbie Earle was the one I was
thinking
of. Yes.
Is he still playing with Houston?
I can't tell.
Okay.
I can tell in a second, but
give him a second. He's got a type.
All right. Like click stuff, and it's hard.
There's some we brought up early before we started recording that involved a music video of some sort.
Oh.
That I am. This is what happens when the NHL has a lockout. We have to find things that are really just horribly wrong.
It was somebody doing a video cover of Wham.
Yeah, you had the story. You were ready with it.
The ECHL's Kalamazoo Wings singing Wham. They're not so much singing it.
Which
lip syncing?
Which song?
What the Jitterbug, right? No,
that's Wake Me Up Before You Go Go.
Just could not be that.
That's the name. That's
I could not have that poor of taste to say the name. I'm sorry. I needed one of you two to say.
I had to think about it. I did have to think about it.
Yeah, it was pretty much them trying to remake the video and lip syncing to it to the original Wham song. Which happened to bring us into the topic of the Blackhawks doing a Christmas album.
Well, I was
going to
say,
last year.
I mean, this is something you see a lot where they'll do a video of a song. And last year, better than the what was the one that you had brought up though on their goal score song that they had done a video for.
I think they actually. I don't know if it was actually like a sponsored video, but I know a bunch of the players at some charity ball came out and were dancing to.
Fratelli's?
Yeah, the Fratelli's.
All right, lovely. But yeah, and then last year, one of the Blackhawks promotional commercials was the Chicago Blackhawks Sing-Along Holiday Album.
Which is brutal.
If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube. You can type in Chicago Blackhawks Christmas Carols. It amounts to about the same thing. It's some good fun chicanery that lets you see the players be goofballs, including the cover of Wham that the Kings did.
Wings,
sorry.
Kalamazoo.
The Kalamazoo Wings. It's goofy. It's disturbing. It kind of makes you want to puke a little, but at the same time makes you laugh and see the guys having some fun.
Apparently, let's see. Where did I see this? This is Puck Daddy. One might question the production value of this thing, although it was good enough for the Jumbotron, where the clip debuted Friday night, which would have been...
Oh, that's disturbing.
A couple last week? Last Friday? Last Friday.
I was so going to have lunch before bartending, and now I don't think I'll be able to eat. Oh, good God. I don't really know that I've got much else right now.
Yeah, it's kind of just a rambling... thing. So I think at this point, shall we wrap this?
If you guys are comfortable with it, I'm more than comfortable with it. One thing I do want to bring up, hopefully in the next week, we'll be able to get an interview in with the band Two Man Advantage out of New York. It would be a special one-off that we'd be doing from the Triple Rock, in theory. Talking to them right now, we'll try and come up with some other special events. Even if it's just going to a Pee Wee's hockey game over at Edison Arena and broadcast from there, just for fun, to try and keep you up to date on what we have going on. And I'll try and look at the high school picture a little more for the next time we do a show. Anybody want to say goodnight?
Yeah, this is Aaron. You can follow me on Twitter @AaronGNP. where I tweet about hockey and other sort of related and unrelated miscellaneous items.
Yeah, this is Kenny. I'm out there. You should be able to find me.
This is the Meat Beast. Good night, and thank you for listening.